name of Lord Jesus Christ. In this class, we continue to look at the self-cultivation, spiritual self-cultivation in the book of Proverbs. So last night, we mentioned about we have to really rely on our Lord Jesus Christ to control our speech, because there will be many bad results if we just speak whatever we want to say or feel like to say or pass out ungodly, untruthful gossip, which can hurt yourself and hurt other people, and even hurt the church. So we have to be very careful before speaking, and only speak edifying words to encourage, help, comfort each other. And as always, we talk about we have to control our greed. Of course, this is one of the Ten Commandments. The last one, we tell us not to covet other people's stuff, because greed will destroy us. Greed will make us poor. Actually, in Chinese character, that the word greed and poor look very, very similar. Just one stroke different. So being greedy can very easily make you to become broke, to become cheated, your people, because using our greediness can cheat us into scams, and we can lose our lot. Now, of course, if a heart is always greedy, we'll lose the peacefulness. The book of Proverbs talk a lot about controlling our own laziness, or rather to say, we should discipline ourselves and make sure we are not lazy. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. Starting from brothers, huh? One verse each. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. Yes. Matthew, start. Loud, please. In the past, it was agricultural society. In agricultural society, the labor is the only way to get food and to get provision to your own family. There's no shortcut for farmers. Farmers have to do a lot of preparation work for the ground, sowing the seed, fertilizing, watering. And at the end of the season is so-called harvesting. And harvesting is time-limited. Because the crop is ready, you have to get them out from the ground in a few days' time. Otherwise, you get spoiled on a tree, or maybe the animals or insects, anything can consume them. So being a farmer is a very hard-working career or work. But in the past, everybody almost was a farmer, except you have certain trade skill. So the Bible used farmer a lot to teach us to live diligently, both spiritually and physically, our physical life. In our generation, I think most of us, we used to do things according to our own schedule. But if you look at your parents or your grandparents, the habit is different than us. First of all, if you look at our grandparents, they are very hardworking. Maybe because they came from a very poor family, they have to go to the field. My mother-in-law used to tell me that when she was young. Daytime, she has to go to school, woke up early in the morning, but before going to school, she has to help the family to make breakfast, to cut firewood, to make fire, and then to make some congee before she can head up to school. And after coming to school, it's not like, oh, put down the school bag and go for TV or checking out the internet. After coming back, immediately she have to go to the field to make sure the rice, the rice farm, everything is fine, and to do the weeding. And then late at night, also helping the house, clean the house, do some cooking. So their schedule is like 5 in the morning until 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. In those generations, every kid does that. And that's why in those generations, there are less teenager or young emotional or mental problem. Why? Because there's no time for that. There's no time to feel depressed. Even though life can be very depressing. Poverty, you know, work, pressure. People don't mind you. People, your parents shout at you. They don't even talk nice to the children. There's no toy, no internet, no hangout, no sleepover in a friend's place. But in those kind of generation, nobody commit suicide. They're too busy to be depressed. And no time to think other things, crazy or evil thoughts or lust, because there's no time for that. Right? Life is fully occupied. Studies, helping family, farming, cooking. And if a family runs a small business, they have to go there to work. So actually, hardworking, being diligent, has a lot of advantages. At least keep you motivated. In those generations, because they come from poor family, so the only way to get success or get fed is work hard. And even nowadays in Africa, most of the brothers in your age, they don't just do schooling, but they have to help the farm, just like in your grandparents' generation. So the Bible said, if you are hardworking, you feed yourself. But if you're lazy, you'll become poor. Nowadays, the biggest problem in our generation is young people easily feel bored, but they don't want to work. They want to get a part-time job. They don't want to help the house, but they just stay in the room and doing computers. It happens to a lot of our brothers. They don't sleep early. They stay up late, but wake up like so late. And that becomes a vicious cycle. Nowadays, when I do pastoring in the church, in the early sermon, morning, Saturday morning sermon, you know, half of the members, they came late. Why? Because especially youngster, they stay up late Friday night. So it's very sad. You spend so much time doing your own stuff, but when you go to church, you show up late. It's all about laziness. Right? You may say you are very busy, but doing what? A lot of the time that we spend online are not very productive. You may say, oh, you do research, you do your homework. Yes, maybe 10% of the time. 10% is spent with your computer online is productive, but 90% all wasted. So we have to be hardworking. At your age, you have to do your best at your studies. Right? Of course, not study is everything. Not everybody is good at studying. But at least if you are given the opportunity, you have to do your very best. Don't waste your parents' money. Pay your tuition fees, and then you go home, you don't study, and you keep changing majors. After you change major, you say you don't feel like it because you don't study it, then you're lagging behind. And if you don't like it, you change again. Don't do these kind of things, right? Schooling is schooling. Whatever you major doesn't even matter because in the future, you don't even use it. Just finish school. Right? Unless you really choose the wrong area, you really hated it or you are not good. But it's okay, just finish it. Right? Do your own study. Don't have the other people to wait to force you. Because college is so free. Nobody tells you to study hard. It's so easy to be lagging behind. After you're lagging behind so much, you give up. You think, okay, another term I'll retake it. You're wasting your own life, you're wasting your parents' money. And it doesn't feel good. So if you're a student now, you're given the opportunity to study, you try your very best. So it's very important to build up a very healthy schedule. I think if every one of you, when you go home, you can leave NYTS schedule, you know, I guarantee you, not only me, the Bible will guarantee you success in the future. Every day you work, you sleep at 11 o'clock, you get a good night's sleep, woke up at 6, do your shower, exercising, you know, tidy up your bed, And then read Bible every day before you go out. Read a little bit of Bible. Pray half an hour before you go out. I tell you, your day will be different. You're full of God's wisdom. You'll make right decision. Your mind will be sharp. Whatever you study, God will help you to memorize. And then you spend so much time studying. Afterwards, helping your family. Now you wash the toilet here. But how many of you wash the toilet at home? Raise your hand. Only a handful, right? You clean the kitchen here, wash the dishes here. But how many of you help the kitchen wash the dishes at your home? Okay, that's a little better. Right? You do vacuuming here. How many of you keep vacuuming at home? Right? So do the very same thing that you are doing here. Do it to your home. Do it to your parents. Be hardworking. You know, hardworking is a good way to keep you occupied. You know why we always easy to commit sin or fall into our weaknesses? Because we have too much free time. Too much. Look at King David. When did he fail? Because he was lazy. There's nothing to do. Only sleeping, enjoying, stay up late at night. And then sinfulness, temptation can easily attract his mind. So you keep yourself busy is the best way, one of the best ways to avoid unnecessary temptation. You have no time for so much browsing. Check your email, do your homework, and then off it. Unless you go to TJC website to download some new sermon, right? Or listen to NYTS recording again and again. Make sure you memorize 30 poppers. the homework you owe me, right? You only memorize 10, but some of you not even memorize 10. Right. So, do some memorizing in the Bible. Mentally, keep yourself also busy. Right. It's very important, brother and sister. And if you have time, get a job, get a part-time job. Do something practical. Right. Of course, attending this kind of activity is good. But don't use this kind of activity as an excuse, saying that, oh, I don't want to do anything outside. I don't want to get a job outside. I just wait for the whole summer. You know, some youngster, of course, church activity is good, but doesn't mean that you have to spend every single week in your whole summer or you attend every activity. Right? You choose the activity good for you, target it, and then come here. The rest of the time, if you need to get a job, you get a job. You get some experience in the society. You know, go to work and get scolded by your boss and you learn something. Right? Church activity is good, but don't just use this as an excuse of not going out and get some experience. Don't just say, oh, hiding here. This is not the right way. Yes, you have to spiritually come here, you have to recharge, you NYTS. But the rest of the summer, do something. If you cannot find a job, do volunteering. After NYTS, maybe it's difficult to get a summer job halfway, right? Go to do volunteering. Whether it's your own church, your local church, need some volunteer, or your community. Make sure you are not so too free. You are not doing nothing and stay home and just video game or watching Korean dramas whole day. Okay, do something. So the Bible said you have to learn from one kind of animals, which is ants. Let's turn to chapter 6. Verse 6 to 11. Next. Chapter 6, verse 8. Nine. Yes, go. Nine, Jeffrey. Ten. 11. He is a sluggard, lazy man. Learn from the ants. When God created different creatures, God hid a certain kind of wisdom in their nature of behavior. Ants is supposed to be one of the smallest insects. But you know, ants is very wonderful. That's why even movie, they make ants men, right? Very strong. I don't know, I haven't seen that movie. Is it good? Okay, I'll check it out later. You know, ants can hold the weight like 4 or 5 times of their own body weight. Human being cannot do it. If you are 70 kilos, you can never hold 300 kilograms. But ants can hold so many times of its own weight and moving around very easily. You know, God is wonderful. The design is hidden. And there's no king. There's no king in the ants' kingdom. Only queen. Only the queen. The queen does nothing. The queen just stay there and have children. And all the other males ants have to work so hard to take care. But they have no king. There's no command system. There's no hierarchy. But it's so wonderful that in the animal kingdom, the small insects, one of the smallest animals, insects, they work so hard and prepare food in the summertime. The first time I went to Africa, I saw in the field, there's a pile of dust, like hills, like small hills, in the middle of the fields, everywhere. So I asked the local brethren, what are those pile of red soil or dust, like a mountain shape? Sometimes can be even taller than a person. Some of those are very tall. Then they reply me, oh, those are the homes for the ants. They are the nests. They are the animal kingdom, the city. And then nobody can disturb them, otherwise they all come out and disturb you. So later, I saw some Discovery Channel or National Geographic. You know, there was one team of scientists. They wanted to really study what is inside, how it looks. And of course, they chased all the ants out and burned them or put cement or something. They kill all the ants, and then they open up. Wow, they find out inside just like a city, just like a modern-day city planning. They have different channels, different chambers. They build this incredible structure. So God make them a very hardworking laborer. God make them very smart architect. God make them very good inhabitant. They run their own society. And they prepare food before winter. And of course, in the tropical area, there's no winter, but they still prepare food. So you see an ant, you never see it standing still, right? If you see an ant standing still, that means it's dead. Every time you see an ant is moving around, talking to, touching each other, and trying to exchange information where to get food. So if you're honey, you forget, you drop something, you didn't clean it up, all the ants, if there's ants nearby, you'll just get it so quickly. So Bible tells us, if you're lazy, right, every morning, if you don't want to get up early to pray, what should you look at? Look at any ants in your house and learn from them. Wow, I have to learn from you. Teach me, right? You know, of course, you have to get up early to go to school or work. But spiritually, you have to learn to be diligent. Write it down, very important. Every day, get up 15, 20 minutes earlier. You do a prayer before you go to school. You read a few chapters. You are like a spiritual ant. When I was in college, like you, after I attend NYTS, my heart is so stirred up. I was so motivated. So I decided, if I want to keep up my spirituality, there's no way that 2 weeks here can last for the whole year. So I make my determination. Usually I get up at 7 o'clock and get myself ready for school. But I determined, now, if I want to keep up the faith, I have to wake up a bit early. So I woke up at 6:30. So I have at least 30 minutes to pray before I go to school. At the beginning, it was tough, especially winter. In Canada, the winter is very long. And 6 o'clock, I mean, outside is still dark. It's still cold. So at the beginning, it's not easy. But once you force yourself and you start the routine, and you feel that, you know, with half an hour prayer before you go to school, it really makes a huge difference. And that motivates me to keep doing. So that a little bit of diligence really transformed my life through the 4 years of colleges. And when I, during the break time in the college, sometimes I have 2 hours, I'll go to the library to do studies. But I remember, I have to study the Word of God first. So I always carry with me my small, compact Bibles. In those days, even though we don't have cell phone, we don't have smartphone, so I carry a small, compact Bible. And that Bible, I still keep it up to today, even though I don't use it that much, because the letter, the print was so small. My eyes is not good as you anymore. But that Bible is my good friend throughout the 4 years of universities. So before studying in the library, I'll read that Bible, even one page, even one verse, just like the ants, right? You see a drop of food, you just get it. And go to the other place, see another drop of food, just get it. Never stop. And I find out that these habits of making use of every small fragment of time really make a difference. You don't have to say, oh, every day I want to do 3 hours of spiritual cultivation, pray 2 hours when I go home. If you say like this, you are cheating yourself, right? You're not going to do this. You're not going to read 10 chapters. You know, some people after NYTS, they make a determination. 10 chapters a day, 2 hours every day prayer. After 1 day, finish. After 1 week, back to normal. Don't set the goal too high, right? Be diligent, learn from the end, but every little bit of fragment. You have 5 minutes, okay, read a little bit. You have 10 minutes, pray more, right? Do something little bit by little bit. Just learn from ends, but have to keep you moving. So don't be lazy. Now, one of the things train you not to be lazy is don't sleeping in. How many of you are not a morning person? You know, every morning is so difficult to get up. Okay. Pretty honest. That's good. You are different, right? But sooner or later, you're a morning person, you have to change. First of all, when you work, you cannot be late at work, right? If you're always late at work, you get fired. Secondly, if you're late, especially when you become parents, you have babies, then you cannot just sleep in. Baby will wake you up every 3 hours. So sooner or later, you have to overcome your body weakness. Some are morning person. But Bible tells us, learn from the end. Let's especially read verse 10. Little bit of slumber, little bit of sleep. Your poverty will come. So if every morning you are so rushed, you don't pray before you go to work, you don't go to school, then spiritually you'll be having poverty. So make a determination. Even 15 minutes in the morning prayer. Okay, if you can do 15 minutes, just do it. Get up 15 minutes early, set your alarm. Give 15 minutes to Jesus. You have 24 hours a day, but get 15 minutes of sleep to Jesus is not that much. You can do it. If you say you cannot, because what? You are lazy. So, try to learn from this. Very important. And spiritually, we should not be lazy too. The slumber, you know. Sometimes sleep, slumber is spiritual. If you can observe in a church service, some people are habitual sleeper during the sermon. I don't know, have you seen any of them? Here, how many of you are still sleeping? In the sermon, in the service, in your local church, it's not hard to find some people, when they come to church, they are habitual dozing off. Of course, when you are very tired, right, you have a bad night, you work night shift, if you are a nurse or you are a doctor, you know, you work overnight shift Friday night and you rush to church on Saturday, and of course, you a little bit of dozing off, understand, right? But if not, if you're dozing off during a sermon, What does it mean? Spiritually, we are not watchful, we are slumber. You know, there was a joke in Taiwan. You know, Taiwan, they have praying, they have the praying mat, small one. There was a brother, you know, dozing off during the sermon, doing some fishing, dozing off. And during the sermon, when the sermon's almost end, the pastor said, okay, let's sing hymn. Let's rise up and sing hymn certain. And the brother just woke up suddenly. Instead of getting the hymn book, what did he get? The prayer mat, bring up like this, try to sing. It looks so embarrassed. Oh, this is not a hymn book, it's a prayer mat. Okay, put it down. There are a lot of jokes about people are sleeping in a sermon. And of course, sometimes you are tired, right? But if you have habitual sleeping in the sermon, spiritually you're having some problem. So we have to ask God to help us to overcome. Okay, continuing. The book of Proverbs also tells us to control the desire on alcohol. Control our desire on alcohol. Chapter 23, verse 20 to 21. Next. Chapter 23, verse 20. Next, please. Who are reading? There's nothing wrong with eating, and there's nothing wrong with drinking. When the Bible talks about eating is food, drinking, not only water. Sometimes people drink wine, even in the Old Testament time. But the fact is, if you have too much desire, especially on alcohol, on wine, there will be a lot of negative effects. First of all, he said, somebody who is so addicted to alcohol will become poor. You spend too much money on wine, on alcohol, of course. And sometimes because you get drunk, you don't have the soberness to go to work. A few months ago, there was a news saying that there was an airline. I think the flight is from Canada, from Toronto. And there was a pilot. He's already sitting at the cockpit. Is already about to lead the flight to take off. But for whatever reason, that he doesn't look so sober. And then the company tests his alcohol level and find out that actually he has too much wine. He has too much alcohol before he go to work. You know, a pilot not supposed to drink any alcohol even 24 hours before the flight. You have to remain sober, not only on job, but one night before, he's not supposed to drink. And during the flight, he should not even drink one mouth. But that pilot, he was sitting in the cockpit, he was checking the equipment, but he was drunk. He was heavily intoxicated. So what happened? He's dragged off the plane. The police hold him custody and put him on trial. His name is on the newspaper. The airline got shame, his family got shame, and also he was put to jail for a few months because he was endangering public safety. You know, and of course, he was fired immediately. How can he ever fly again? You know, it takes years of training to become a pilot. But just one incident screwed everything. It's a shame. It's a waste. But why all these things happen? He must have been so addicted, so attracted to alcohol and the feeling of drinking. So the Bible tells us, right? Alcohol itself is very, very attractive, and very easy to addict to. Nowadays in your college, right, how many of you, your friends, know they are regular drinker? They every Friday night, they happy hours or party, they drink so much. How many of them, your friend is always drinking. Just some? Oh. In college, actually, in the college that I went before, there was a bar inside the campus. I don't know, in your campus, is there a drinking bar? Wow, some have, some do, right? Some you can go inside. Of course, they don't sell hard liquor, but at least they sell beer. And then they can drink. And every Friday, you know, the dormitory, oh, they have heavy music, party. And party must have alcohol, because alcohol make you feel high, make you feel strong, make you forget your troubles, your exam, right, or your mystery, right? Alcohol does have some effect, make you relax, right? Make you relax. After a few drinks, you can say that you can say the things that you usually don't dare to say in the daytime, right? Make you bold, something you don't dare to do. Suddenly, you become so courageous, right? Make your mind losing the watchfulness, and of course, forgetting a little bit of trouble. But if you drink too much, not only next morning you have hangover, but in the long term, the health got affected. The Bible tells us a very negative example. I think we all know the story. How alcohol not only affects the health or hurt your wallet, but affects your reputation and affects your even salvation. Write it down, very important. If you drink too much alcohol, if you're addicted to it, if you like it too much, hurt your health, hurt your salvation. Noah, after he came out of the ark, he found a new occupation. What did he do? A farmer. He farmed grapes. And of course, so much grapes, what to do with the grapes? Make wine. And make wine, of course, you drink. Nothing wrong with drink, but if you are drunk, you cause yourself into trouble. After he was drunk, he was in his tent and he was naked. You know, an old man, supposed to be sober, watchful, spiritual, but alcohol can disarm him. Alcohol can make you another person. Alcohol can make you do things that you dare not to do. So brothers and sisters, right? There are a lot of drinking in the campus. And when your friend invites you for a bike, for a buy you around, what should you say? Of course, it's not sin to drink. But if you drink one cup, they will say, okay, do more. You know, another round. Cheers. Try it. Drink it. Finish it. Usually, when you go with your friend to drink, you will not only drink one small cup. They drink until they drop. And that's the part they want to have fun. So the wise way to survive in the campus is don't drink at all. Because if you drink the first, it's hard to refuse the second. Right? So if you are presented alcohol, what should you say? Orange juice. It's better. Or apple juice. Right? Of course, once again, I say that it is not a sin itself to drink any alcohol. But for you in the college, there are already so many temptations. There are so many young people, the reason they drink alcohol is to get drunk. It's not to taste, or not just to talk, but to get drunk. And when alcohol and sex is closely related, look at Lot and his wife. The wife already dead. His daughters. After he was rescued from that calamity, he was surviving. But a daughter, you know, have a very evil and immoral thought, try to get offspring from their own father. But how did they do it to their father? You know, Lot would never agree to do that if he was in a sober mind. But the daughters, no, get him drunk. And after he was drunk, he made the worst mistake in his life. And not for himself, for all his generation, all his children, the descendant of Moabites and Ammonites, they are never allowed to enter the house of God. The children of incest. Why? Why did they do such a stupid mistake? Alcohol even confused the mind of Lot, who was supposed to be a righteous man. If alcohol can do it to Lot, if alcohol can do something to Noah, then are you stronger than them? That you can get drunk and without harming yourself? So it's very, very essential for us to control our alcohol consumption. Especially now you're in your college with the friends outside. And especially if you're already addicted, you have some kind of issue with it in the past. If you're drunk before, then I suggest you pray hard and quit alcohol. There was a brother that I knew when he came to the new country, make some new friends. He tried to make new friends. He was a very friendly person. He knows that in order to make friends, in order to success, you have to make new friends. And make friends in the world, mostly you have to go eating and drinking together. Especially in Asian Oriental culture, you know, social means drinking. Not only small, little drinking, but heavy drinking. So that brother at the beginning only drank light alcohol, like beer and some small, not very heavy drink. But later, he get more and more addicted. Even drink the hard liquor. He can even drink one bottle of red wine. And later, go to whiskey. Later, go to what? I don't know all the names because I'm not very good at it. But those are very heavy liquor. Sometimes I open, smell. For me, if I smell it, I'll drop. Wow, how can this so strong, the alcohol? But for him, he's a heavy drinker, drinking more and more. Until one day, he even go to a family service, family barbecue of church members. And they also drink alcohol, and he drink so much. You know, family service or brother and sister fellowshipping, not supposed to drink alcohol, right? Not supposed to. But sometimes, you know, some people, they offer. But he overdrank. He got drunk. And when he was drunk, he was just like acting a crazy person, saying crazy things and drop on the ground, vomiting. Next morning, he said, I have to quit. You know, I'm a Christian. This is the body of Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, Holy Spirit, live inside me. How can I continue to get drunk? I'm killing myself. I'm killing my own reputation. So from that day on, he prayed so hard and he quit drinking. He said, no more. Even his friend asked him, he said, no, I quit. Sometimes it's a struggle, but you have to make the right choice. So let's turn to Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. Next. Who is next? Do not be filled with wine. Do not be drunk with wine, but filled with the Holy Spirit. These two things are similar in the sense that which can control people. Alcohol can control people and make people's behavior change. But first of all, we must ask why some people are drunk. Some people are alcoholic. Why? It's not the taste of the alcohol is so attractive. But why people get drunk in the first place? That's the same reason why people use drugs. Actually, drugs taste awful, right? I never taste it, but I think it's awful. I think it's awful, right? Every drug tastes awful, right? But the effect of the drugs make the mind different. But why people use alcohol? Why people use drugs? Because their mind is very empty. They feel sad. They are broken. Their spirit is broken. They try to use those things to smooth them out. So if your heart is empty, now, your family problem, you have issue in your home, you're lonely, you feel stressed. You don't go to alcohol to find comfort. You come to Jesus. You come to Jesus. That's why the Bible said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. the effect will be the positive one and stronger one. Holy Spirit, fill you, can remove your sorrow, make you forget your trouble. But it's a positive way. No hangover next morning, right? You feel the Holy Spirit so much here, you won't hangover in the morning. No, this morning, nobody's vomit. Right? You've been praying for 1 week, feeling the Holy Spirit, but no side effect. It doesn't cost any money. So, if you are sad when you are downcast at home, pray more. Let the Holy Spirit fill you, heal you, transform you. And then you control your alcoholic consumption. And if possible, in college, these few years, since you're facing so much other temptation, I strongly suggest you don't even drink at all in the college years. Because alcohol and sexual temptation is always linked together in campus. Let's all pray in silence. Amen.